illustration of that in the sense that, you know, we've been talking about this year 1538 with the Machlokes of Rabbeinu Yaakov Beirab and Levi Ibn Chabib. And the truth is, as we tried to explain, that everything was really made possible by the simple fact that there was an expulsion from Spain. So you have all these Talmidei Chachamim who, you know, whether it was via the Ottoman Empire, quote unquote, the northern Mediterranean basin or the southern Mediterranean basin, everybody made their way to Eretz Yisrael one way or the other, you know. So the Gerush Sfarad had an enormous impact on the fact that this conversation, lo and behold, right, whatever it was, you know, 1492 to 1538, so we're talking about 46 years later, you know, no great surprise. Yeah. The Ottoman, conquest was 1517. So, you know, the history, you know, has an impact. So, small wonder then, right, that amongst the issues that came up with Shivat Zion, in the modern sense of the term, you know, half a millennia later, was, of course, the question of the restoration of the Sanhedrin. So, you know, along with everything else was being evaluated, so the Mishpatei Uziel, you know, had to weigh in on this issue, as many of you have seen. So just to pick up on one point, which I think is very salient in this context, which we talked about in terms of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan's concept was that the Rambam's Chiddush was that Ish mi piish is really about quality control, right? And once you say it's about quality control, that we're looking for the best and the brightest, as they say. So if everybody can agree that this guy is really, you know, deserving of becoming the Rosh HaYeshiva, so presumably that's already an indication of his quality, right? It's not even like it's a majority thing, it's a unanimous thing. For sure, somebody would have objected. Once that's true, you said it's very hard to know why that would only be the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, and why wouldn't you want everybody's opinion? In fact, the irony is, of course, in the sugya, as we learned, whose opinion did they ask, and he was outside of Eretz Yisrael? The Radvaz, right? Ba'odi b'Mitzrayim. He said, yeah, they asked me, you know, what I thought about this whole thing, and depending on who was the one asking, you know, either it was an answer that they wanted to hear or maybe they didn't want to hear. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mishpatei Uziel. This is, again, an excerpt. This is really not the whole thing, but it's a critical section of it. So, getting a little... Ari, are we back up to you? Yeah, okay. I had the feeling. Okay. So that's a very telling opening line. Where did the Rambam come up with this? It wasn't a Bavli, it wasn't a Yerushalmi, it wasn't a Medrash Halacha. He didn't even find it in the Nesivos Shalom. Bidaito Habihira, and he found it, up here. Yeah, it's a famous story after the Rav Shir one day, somebody asked the Rav what his source for an idea was, and he responded, a clear and logical mind. So clear and logical mind, v'chas of nearly not dvarim. Namely, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, right, who is the martyr himself over this. Okay, so that's an understatement, right? Trichen Bihur, you could say about any Rambam, there's always, you know, what to be mivayar. This Rambam, like, shook the world, so Trichen Bihur is an understatement. Lashon Ham'ata.
Eretz Yisrael, ha'takanas b'yeshiva achas l'shem zeh l'ach l'ach l'hasmich b'haskin kulam.
So who already raised that as a problem with the Rambam? And if you want to, if you said it's you know, all of the chachamim in the entire planet Earth, so then you could say, yeah, it would be difficult to get, you know, the chachamim from Tokyo and Hong Kong and the like, right? But yeah, the Radvaz said, yeah, I don't really get it. So the Radvaz said he doesn't really understand that, you know, what's so hard to get from one end of Eretz Yisrael to the other. I would add to that, right, the Rambam himself was the one who said that they're going to have this grand march from Tveria to Yerushalayim. That's like half the country right there, if not more. So what's so difficult to call a meeting? Right, if you tell them what the meeting is about, if it's just some, you know, an RCA convention, they might not show up. But if you tell them we're going to reconstitute the Sanhedrin, presumably you could get pretty decent attendance, right? I mean, that would be something that, like, you know, most rabbis wouldn't want to miss. I would think, you know. I mean, it's not, what was that in Vegas? The coalition? Yeah, it's not the coalition, but it's something, you know. Okay? All right? Ukhwar Ahmad al-Zeh. Oh, right. So the Mishpatei Uziel also do a little bit of fancy footwork there. He says, ah, maybe when the Rambam says, you know, that the Yisrael Mefuzarin Hain, that wasn't a reference so much to geographical dispersion, but yeah, can't get them to agree, those, you know, Am Ksheyoref, you know, once the, you know, the Gullus set in, everybody started thinking differently. So even if they all lived in, you know, Teaneck, New Jersey, even if we could all limit them to the country club, like they would just, like, you know, freeze their motion, nonetheless, it would be hard to get everybody to agree, you know. You may have heard about these things. Even within one shul, there might be different opinions about certain things. Okay.
The EF Shar, Aya Afilu Bizman Talmud Lehevi as Kochach Maestral, Dide Askama Bishalazo, or Kach Lo Chadasha Hasmicha Bizman. Levar Ze Messiah Rabban, the Omer, Im Hayasham Samach be peace above, Eno Tarech to Askulo.
Chiddush Hasmicha, the Hamshachasa, to simply continuing it, Pesamach mi Pesamach ubazeh shechiddush Hasmicha. One small but very large word, unanimity, nearly an impossible word. Okay, so it's the one small difference, but it's really important, because to get unanimity is really, 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 really hard.
Okay. שאם כאן, למה היו מצטערים החכמים וכו', כי
היתוכן שחכמי ישראל שבארץ ישראל לא הכירו נחיצוסה ותועלוסה של הסמיכה?
כדי שלא יספלו דיני קרסוס בישראל.
You see, tugging at the heartstrings over here. Says, really? Could that be it? Wouldn't people recognize how important unity is? Wouldn't the Rabbanim understand how important it is to put minor differences of opinion aside for the greater good, for a little bit of achdus, a little bit of cohesion? Wouldn't you think that anybody would just immediately recognize that, you know, Maybe I would prefer Rav Moshe. Would I prefer Yaakov Kamenetsky? I might have a personal preference for Baron Cutler or the Rav. But after all, they're all going to be on the Sanhedrin anyway. We just have to get this thing started. Can't we all just agree? Can't we all just agree? Can't we all? Maybe not, actually. Okay, Mike, we'll get to you in 1 second. Right? Oh. So he says, the Rambam, not so much as we said, you know, the simple reading is because, like, you know, it's a massive chiddush, but maybe the Rambam struggled to believe. Maybe the reason he started to doubt his own theory of the case was like, if this is all it took, then why wouldn't they have done it? See, that's the one part that doesn't bother me. Call me, you know, jaded, but, you know, in our age, I would consider it to be a greater nes than Kriyas Yamsa for people to agree about anything of substance. Micah, go ahead.
It seems like Mishpat HaZiel is establishing that the whole Chiddush of Smicha and unanimity is not just a form of having control. That the whole right of issue of the issue, the reason why the Rambam's Chiddush of the word is not because of body control like the Aruch HaKodesh suggested, because if so, he would...
Well, he hasn't waited...
On this one point for the greater good, because if it's really about if unanimity is really about body control, then there's something about unanimity that can't be compromised, so we wouldn't have the Chachamim compromise their opinion just to reestablish that.
Right, I hear that. I mean, at the same time, you could say that there's a certain threshold level, right? Like, we could all agree, I don't know, people can debate, you know, I don't know, Chacham Ovadia Yosef, thinking about the Golem of the 20th century, Chacham Ovadia Yosef, and Rav Moshe, and Rav Aaron Kotler, and Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the Rav, and they each had their own strengths. But I think we would all agree that at some threshold level, they were all really, you know, outstanding rabbis and, you know, Reuyin, you know, for, you know, Hanhaga. So if there was like, you know, you were getting these things together and saying, look, this is not... We're not pretending to be like, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. This is not some kind of like, you know, faher, or, you know, we're giving people grades like, you know, Havdil Aleph Alfei Havdalah said, like, this is MBA 2K and Rabbi Yaakov gets a 98 and the Rav gets a 99, you know, and whatever. Like, you know, I don't think it's really like that. It's just like there's some threshold level that we should be able to all agree upon. And once you're over that threshold, so good, right? That's what I would... think he's coming from, and so that you don't necessarily, Mike, have to sacrifice too much on the quality control, right? What the Aruch HaShulchan was saying is that, you know, presumably if they get everybody to agree that this person is Roy, maybe somebody knows more than he does. But the point is that they're a high quality individual. You're not, it's like, you know, when they, before the whole thing became a farce, but, you know, when I was a kid, they would nominate Supreme Court candidates, okay, you know, so... there are these three people, and, you know, unless you had some axe to grind, you would basically say, yeah, they're all basically qualified. So they'll pick one of them based on whatever considerations that they have. But, you know, at the most basic level, they're all, you know, experienced, qualified, highly intelligent, you know, judicial temperament, you know, and they would win nomination by votes like 99-0. You just look it up. You know, today, of course, it's all on party lines is a disgrace, but, you know, when they would vote on these things when I was a kid, look, just, you know, I don't know off the top of my head, but, you know, people that were nominated in my lifetime, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, I remember her nomination was a big deal because it was a second woman. I think it was like 97-3. It was something, you know, it wasn't under debate. Okay. The problem answers itself. Hastira shebein tvar verish ha-mishnayos.
safek mitoch shalta. Im kain im kan lo hayu chachamim mitzayin. Em es kasher nien bedvarav bepei rosh hamishnayos. Muchach shehu misafek bekiyum halachazu. Shaharisim chazal v'davar zayiyah v'lo safek.
Yikon habore yisparach libos bnei adam. The Shem is ala l'sora. Gadel chachmasam b'fnei bo Mashiach alamata. Okay, so I'm not so persuaded by this line, but the Mishmat Yaziel thinks that, okay, well, the Rambam has already alluded to in the Perusha Mishnayos, you know, the practicability of this din, because Ksheyiko and Halibos, and everybody's going to want the things for the right reasons, v'chule, 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 v'chule. You know, look, I'll tell you, it doesn't sound like he thinks that the din itself is under question. To me, it sounds like he thinks the practicability of the din is under question. Like, how can we get people to agree? And he says that that itself will be a siman of Yemos HaMashiach. But okay, the Mishpat Yehuziel wants to be miyashiv a little bit, the Perusha Mishnayos and the Yad HaChazaka. I'm not sure that I'm quite buying it, but fair enough. Now we get to the, I think, the crux of the issue. Right, okay, so let me just elaborate on this question, because I think, again, we've addressed this question, and the Aruch HaShulchan has his answer. But I think the question is a very sharply put question. I was thinking about the following mashal for you, Ari. You know, it's like, imagine, you know, that there are two models. Your father's golf clubs, okay? So, we'll have deal. Your father's golf clubs, let's say there's a policy that's instituted that those golf clubs are going to be bequeathed in every generation to the best golf player amongst the next generation. And then there's an alternative suggestion that it'll just go to the oldest child. Right? Those are really opposites of each other. One of them is a merit-based system. One of them is a way of avoiding these questions. So when you say that it's, you know, ish mi pi ish, not a perfect analogy, but the way that the smicha works is it just that it's received from one person to the next. There doesn't need to be any secondary explanation of what that is. A person is a samuch if they received smicha. It's a definition in its own right, as opposed to saying, like, they have some, you know, meritocratic credit which is driving the sugya, right? So that remains a very important question. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to square the circle and say, oh, well, it's all really about meritocracy. Fine. Mahan Yolinian Zah. Right. Like, you know, why shouldn't we want to consult anybody or everybody? Exactly. So this the you know, giant word that's haunting the whole sugya, unanimity, right? So why in the world would you require unanimity? A rove should be sufficient. And granted that there are different kinds of rove in halacha, acharabim lahatos and dine mamonos, a rove of one is sufficient, right? But dine nefashos lo si achari rabim l'raos. So you need a majority of at least two, you know, but fine. But unanimity, whoever established that, that's like, you know, that seems like such a, you know, implausible standard. So, Ataras HaSavik HaRishon Omer Rambam, Shim Lo Tomar Kein.
Yotziach
Okay, so the first, you know, question in terms of what's the source of the Rambam. So the Rambam thinks it really is based on Divrei Kabbalah. These Pesukim Yeshayahu are dispositive. Number one. Number two, Atar Sasavik Asheni. Okay, so as we saw in the Tshuva Saradvaz, so the idea of only people in Eretz Yisrael being called a Kahal, where have we seen that idea? We spent some time with that idea. What's the source of that idea? Hani hu de ikrei Kahal. It's at your fingertips. For purposes of calculating the... All everything you're saying is true, but what's the source that, in terms of the Jewish people, we only pay attention to those in Eretz Yisrael? V'ne'elam davar me'enei ha'kahal. Remember Hori Yosef Gimel Amid Aleph for the census for Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor, that we only count Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Hano hu de'ikrei kahal. Hanach shevechutzaretz lo ikre kahal. Okay. Right? So that's the source that he's alluding to. So the idea that that would be relevant for smicha is a really fascinating thing. A lot to think about. Vani mosif od lomar lani azdaiti shemi pshara kasov. What you have in, you know, Shabbos Chazon and then have Torah, kulo ahoiv shochad v'rodev shalmanim yosom lo yishbotu. Oh, it's a really good idea. I like this line very much. When it says v'ashiva shavtayich kivarishonav yotzayich kivatchila, who's to say that they have to be musmachim? Let me take the Rambam's premise that geula depends on tzedek. Tzion b'mishpat yipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedaka. So as long as you don't have, you know, crooks, gangsters, kulo ohev shochad v'rodev shalmonim, people who are on the take, or as my bubby would say, sticky fingers. That means they stick to the money. Sticky fingers. So, as long as you're not dealing with that, so then, you know, these people are people of tzedek and mishpat. They're not musmachim in any formal sense of the term. Okay. That's Yonasan ben Uziel. V'chein tirgim Yonasan ben Uziel. V'imni beich dayane
kushta takin.
Kushta meaning emes. Tiknin means proper.
Shivim echa dine emes takim. V'maseyem v'dine v'im gam v'niach v'bor. V'krazet v'chadim.
Smichusam hamleya shal dayanim. Difnei biyasa mashiach. Ela kasev misparish. Interestingly, the Radak himself, when he interprets those psukim, says, oh, you know, granted, tzedek is going to be really important for geula, but Mashiach can come first. If Mashiach comes first, you know, who's to say that it isn't Eliyahu or the Melech HaMashiach himself who restores? So great. Let's say if you want to go with the Sanhedrin, you don't necessarily need that, you know, it would actually be, you know, all worked out in advance. Okay. So you could see the Mishpatei Uziel is pretty skeptical of the Rambam's proof, you know, based on Yeshayahu, and that from a number of different standpoints. It's how do you understand the Pesukim of Yeshayahu? Maybe it's La'achar Bias Goel Tzedek. And number two is to say it's really Musmachim altogether. Now, in terms of the idea that we're going to use the Par Helim Davar Shel Tzibor standard to define, you know, the Haskama that you need, so that he takes up as well. Hanachaso Hashenish Shel HaRambam Shebnei Eretz Yisrael Nikraim Kal V'afilu Hayu Asar Anashim Enish Mashgich Luzulasam Shebechot Zaretz Lefi Aniyaz Daiti. Says, I don't really understand the logic that would motivate such an idea. Kushtahu, it's true.
Kushtahu, Shevnei Chutzlaretz, Enam Nikarim Kal. Nechsehu Chol Yisrael, Imo Kahal Gado Milvoch, Chamas Ad Nacham Tzrayim, Hani Hu Dikari Kahal, Aval Hanach, Eroshin Chutzle Nacham Tzrayim Gam Shevim.
See, Horios Gimel Amud Aleph. That's what I was referring to. The Paralim Davar Shel Tzibor. Aval, but. What he's saying, what does it have to do with the price of tea in China? When it comes to Paralim Davar Shel Tzibor, it makes a lot of sense to say that you're trying to figure out, you know, that did the Kahal, or the majority of the Kahal, notice it's not the entire Kahal, but at least the majority of the Kahal, were they led astray by this? And what's the operative, you know, fact? Whether or not they're members of the Kahal, so they have to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that establishes a certain population standard within Eretz Yisrael. But what in the world does that have to do with the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael? That's not the issue there. So the Mishpatei Uziel, right, Shimon, he's making an apples and oranges kind of an argument. It's one thing to talk about the population of Eretz Yisrael. It's another thing to talk about the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So I want to come back to that point. I think that there's more to that story. Aval in lochiach mizeh shechach meitz yisrael mishini krayim kalul hala shekola yoshim baretz nikrayim kalul v'gam arama matzim v'virish ha-mishnayos kasav. And again, he says, and even if I would be willing to stipulate that point and to say, fine, just like Kahal in the context of Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor is defined as the residents of Eretz Yisrael, so here we're going to define it as the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael, if you like the Chachamim and the Talmidim of Eretz Yisrael, fine. What's this unanimous idea, right? That's the linchpin. Everything surrounds that point. Chmoshikasa v'gemara. So again, a very cogently formulated question. What he's saying is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you really want to use standards of Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor and limit this to Eretz Yisrael and say, okay, to give the Latin expression that we're looking to see, like mutatis mutandis, we'll just make the necessary change. The Hainu that in Parhelim Davar Shel Tzibor, it's the population. In the question of Smicha, it's the Chachamim, so mutatis mutandis. We'll make that change. We can accept that. But you can't disregard the fact that one of them is Rove, so the other one should be Rove. I can accept that in one area we care about who made the mistake, the members of the Kahal, the citizens, and in the other case we're interested in the Chachamim or in the Chachamim and the Talmidim, whatever you want. But why would you cast away the standard of Rove for a standard nobody's ever heard of? You never need everything. Since when do you ever have unanimous standards in halacha? Right? Even dinei nefashos, to take a life, you need a majority. Yeah, Micah.
I mean, I think to the first part, at least, to which we're taking, you could respond that the parallel in Dover is representative of all of Klal Yisrael, the role of Klal Yisrael, but it's represented as a whole of them. But the Sanhedrin, which is an authoritative body, so that should be decided by the Chachmei Yisrael, like an authoritative body.
Ah. Okay, not to be too pedantic about it, but you have a good raya for that? I mean, I happen to agree with you. I was going to make a similar point, but... It was never like a democratic... Right. Right. So what you're really saying is that the, you know, the Jewish people, I would just put it in slightly different terms, but I think we're saying the same thing, that as far as, you know, both halachos are concerned, Parim Davar Shel Tzibor as well as Smicha, really we are looking for the Jewish people. But in one case, the way that you get at that is by measuring how many Jewish people committed Aveira. In the other case, you have the representatives of the Jewish people who the Torah expects to act in the best interest of the Jewish people. Right? So there are different, the Rav used to like to talk about this a lot, that the Bezdin HaGadol has different roles in society. One of them is to be the highest court. One of them is to be the representatives of the Tzibor. We were talking before about the idea of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibr Shana. Right? We talked about that role in Egla Arufa as well. You know, so the point is that these are the representatives of Klal Yisrael, of the Kahal, as far as knowing how to select a rabbi. Like, why would you necessarily expect, you know, people who aren't learned, they'll just pick whoever the best speaker is, or, you know, whoever's tie is nicer. Like, how are they supposed to know? Is that even a fair task to give to them? Right? It's sort of strange. Like, nobody says, like, okay, you know, this is how we're going to pick the doctors at the hospital for special surgery. So we're going to get everybody on the east side of Manhattan, and we're going to, like, just ask them, who should be the surgeons. And they'll, you know, whatever, they'll vote, you know. And so this guy will nominate the fellow who sells him Snapple at his bodega. This guy will nominate, you know, his super. This guy would nominate the doorman that he really likes. Like, that's not the way that, you know, highly skilled positions should be distributed. It doesn't make any sense. So Micah's point, I was going to make that, is very well taken. You need qualified representatives of the Tzibor to make a choice like that. So generally speaking, you know, again, Mashlam Adavar Domeh, so the people like who typically would hire the surgeons at the hospital for special surgery are surgeons, because they would know something about who knows something about surgery. Right? That's part of the idea here. So I am sympathetic. In fact, I thought, you know, not that, just to support the idea stands on its own, but there's a Gemara Masechta Megillah, which darshins the Psukim, where Haman wanted to destroy, you know, the entire Jewish people, you know, because one Jew didn't bow down to him, sort of an irrational act, to say the least. Vayivakesh Haman la'shmid es kol ha'yehudim asher b'chom dinos ha'melech ha'chashverosh am Mordechai. Anybody remember what the Gemara says? Shemani. Remember this Gemara? So, Am Mordechai, the Gemara Megillah Darshan's Am Mordechai. Who is the nation of Mordechai before Rabbi Willig chose it as a name for his series of Svarim? Am Mordechai, Elu, Rabbanan. That's like a nation unto themselves. So I'd say, yeah, that's what we mean here by the Kahal. They're the nation as far as, you know, choosing rabbis are concerned. What? Again, it's a byproduct of us being in the 21st century in America that we didn't have a havamina that, you know, that others people should get a vote. Like, why would you possibly give people a vote who have no capacity to decide these things? It's an absurdity. But an absurdity that we all think is normal because we're Americans. We think that, you know, we should, you know... you know, that we should choose our leaders based on, you know, the will of the masses. You know, Plato wrote a book called The Republic, which if you haven't read, you should and you will one day, which is about leadership in society, and that he considers to be the greatest, you know, threat of all, that some demagogue is going to come along, and because he's, you know, got a nice tie or makes funny jokes, you know, they'll put him in charge. Like, you know, be disaster. So, he's interested in a philosopher king, the wisest person in society. So a lot to think about. The point is that Micah's response, which, like I said, I was going to try to make that point, I think is very well taken. Like, you don't have to explain why you're shifting from the kahal, as defined by how many people did this aveira, to the kahal as defined by the people who would be qualified in the relevant area. That, I think, is totally fine. The question of majority versus unanimity is a very serious question. Because since when, Acharei Rabim Lahatos, have we ever insisted on a standard of unanimity? That's really now digging a very deep hole. Like, how in the world are you going to get, you don't have unanimous agreement about things in life. It's just so rare. Things have to be so overwhelmingly clear for there to be unanimity. Just because kishem shoshonim b'deosan, kishem shoshonim partzufeim, kach shoshonim b'deosan, just human beings think about things differently, and there's a certain percentage of people, 5 or 10%, who are contrarians by nature. So it's just going to be really hard to generate unanimity. So when have we ever seen that standard? So baron min dein, near the fiyas daiti lomar. Admasam. Kihila. This, I think, is an incredibly important idea. I would have wanted to show you this tshuva just for this line. Who can distill what Rav Uziel is saying? That the standards... Yeah, sorry, I'll go ahead. So the standards of Hori Yostav Gimel, of Hanach Udikrei Kal, only make sense... In which context?
When you are in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, when the vast majority of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, v'advarim kitikunam, then it makes sense to say that those Jews who are in Chutz Laretz are sort of outside of the main framework. But if the Jews are in a period of dispersion altogether, so then, right, every kihila has a basic equality to it. That's a really interesting way of thinking about it. Again, so don't respond. Don't try to respond to me that, smicha is always in Eretz Yisrael. That's right. Sorry, it's Bishum Dechsid. The Shechno Sidrashu called Risho Shatadere Shleyu Ella Bishichno Shalmakom. Shechno Shalmakom. Well, okay. Hashem, Yotir, Inenu.
Mayor Prager, Mayor, please come to Dr.
Just one second, just to make sure. This is now the as they like to say in Israel, money time. Okay, so now this is now the critical point. Okay, so he says, after all of this, he says, I don't really understand the whole unanimity thing, and to work very hard to understand the majority of, the Eretz Yisrael point, you know, and that bothered him, and he doesn't think that Yeshayahu is such a great raya. So, you know, Yotze Le'or Mikol Zeh has been... Ein anu rishayim lahachlit b'dayto shamar dvar b'alacha psuka u'machletes. So Rav Uziel b'tkufaso wanted very much to keep everyone at bay, and people shouldn't get overly excited. They shouldn't get too far along this process of the Chiddush HaSmicha. He says he's not sure that the Rambam was convinced of it, right? The Davar Tzara Chachraya. Yeah, very, very serious questions. And again, like, he's not saying this, but I'll say it for him, right? It's the Rambam, it's really important, but you know, this seems to be a massive Chiddush, and we're not entirely sure how the mechanism works of Haskamas Chachme Eretz Yisrael. The unanimity point remains a challenge, so he wants to, as has continued to this very day, you know, not to push the agenda of the reconstitution of the Smicha, you know, in the context of Shivat Zion and the restoration of Jewish sovereignty. That's the next point, so go ahead, what do you think?
Because, as Rabbi said, there are some people that are contrarians, that it by nature, so they will rather not, they would like the rest of it. Some would go for all Israelites who need a road because there are some contrarians or whatever. So it's more than just each one matters, but if they're one of the Chacham Yisrael, they're chosen to choose the Mechadish Smicha. So they're not just disagreeing because they're contrarian matter, they're disagreeing because there's a reason of substance that they're disagreeing, and that's why we have to respect the unanimity because they need much more when you're dealing with Rabban and
I happen to agree very much with the idea. I'm going to say something additional, but I think that's important. I think that's a very good place to start, is that, you know, when you take things to the masses, and so you have the kooks and bongos, I mean, you know, like, you know, it's hard to take their opinion seriously. And hopefully, if you're dealing with Chachmei Yisrael, everybody's ideas, even if they're, you know, hard to align with each other, we assume that they're substantive. And through at least Masa Umatan, we can come to some reasonable conclusion, which is, you know, the way that, you know, mature professionals in any field, and Kal Vachomer, you know, Talmidei Chachamim, should be able to come to consensus, you know, around an issue. And again, let's be clear, you know, like I said before, it wouldn't have to be, like, if you would imagine the scenario, Micah, just to, you know, amplify your point, it wouldn't have to be, like, on the first ballot. What you could do is you could get everybody into a room. Let's say there are 2,000 of these people. And you say, okay, on the first ballot, we'll get all the candidates. And then, you know, what we'll do is we'll narrow it down from there. And can we get to a place by the 10th ballot that everybody's going to agree, you know, what will happen very quickly is two or three candidates will emerge and there will be some kind of consensus that will, you know, allow the you know, let's say... But what happens today, they're having elections, the new chief rabbinate, right? So I mean, it's so sad, but the process, which is inherently political and always unfortunately has been, but what the Dati Lumi community comes up with their consensus candidate, and the Haredi community comes up with their consensus candidate, and then they fight it out between them, right? So what's happening beforehand is that there's really 20 candidates. You're just winnowing it down. So you could imagine something like that in a much healthier way, where it's not like, you know, you're trying to accommodate political factions. You're right, it would be based on, you know, people's comfort level. Okay, fine. So, you know, you could, you know, get to unanimity in that way. I wanted to say something a little bit more in the direction of Lamdus to conclude, because, oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't know how correct the suggestions would be, but you could say that if you're establishing an idea that, like, every sort of, like, it's not like a physical thing, it's more of an ideal, then everyone has to accept it for it to be, you know, followed. If somebody doesn't agree with it, he's just not going to follow it. Even if there's a road, he's just never going to believe it exists.
Ah, so, okay, so Yossi's saying his second idea. I was not going to mention this. I'm really glad that you did, but everybody appreciates this, that it's really a din prati. It's highly specific, meaning, since the whole idea here is that we're going to look for somebody that everybody is going to eventually, you know, yield to, think Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, so since buy-in is so critical, you know, the very process has to reflect that. Right, that this is in the end going to lead to submission, you know, to this, you know, high body. So the beginning of the process should reflect it. I think that's a worthy idea. I mean, again, in practice, you don't always have to, you know, the Nasi can't outvote everybody else, right? But it's I think it's an important concept. Okay, any other thoughts about that? This is very good. Yeah, Micah?
I was going to say, any way we
yeah, for sure. Right. That was the point that, you know, he was raising. I thought that was the most cogent line in the whole presentation, where he says, look, if you want to appeal to the standard, so appeal to the standard, but, you know, you can make a change of the population versus the rabbis, but you should basically, you know, have the you know, a similar kind of a mechanism. All right. So I just wanted to suggest the following. Maybe there's a very profound distinction to be drawn between the principle of rov, which is used to be machria, shilos. In other words, there's a machlokes, asr mutar, tamei tahar, right? Dine nefashos. So there's a principle of achrei rabim lahatos. You're trying to decide what to do within a specific system. Right? You're not trying to create a new system. What you're trying to decide is within the extant halachic system that, you know, was given, you know, Moshe Misinai. So is this Tamei or is this Tahor? The Torah says when there's, you know, a lack of clarity about that issue, so we use a principle of majority. And there's a lot to be said about, you know, how that works and why that should work. And we know very well that subjectively, right, it can create the grounds for a halachic ruling that may not conform to objective truth. We know that very well, because that's what the sugya of the Tanur Shalachnai is all about. Objectively, Rabbi Eliezer was correct, it was Tahor. Halachically, the Chachamim became correct that it was Tameh, because of Acharei Rabim Lahatos. So we can tolerate, you know, that kind of dissonance, because that's the way the halachic system is supposed to work. That's the essence of Lo Bashamayim. Okay? And that's within the framework of a system that exists and that has existed, and, you know, etc. Masha'ein Kain. Right? When you're talking about, sorry, did you want to?
No,
go ahead.
Here, the you know, system, that's something that hasn't been, that the Rambam will admit, it's Vidur Ali, that he's being Mechadish on his own. It's a new system that hasn't been done before. So therefore, you can't place any other established rules from other systems within Torah to a new system in Torah.
Yeah, so I think I may put a slightly more moderate formulation on it, but I think that's right. Here, the whole point is that the chain of transmission has been broken. So the burden is a much greater burden. You're not just trying to decide something within the exit system. You're trying to decide something which is going to allow a situation, or it's going to allow for the rebirth of a certain structure, a certain institution. And for that to take place, so I'm not so bothered by the idea that the bar is going to be principally a much higher bar, because it's not just that this is a really important decision, a lot of really important decisions. Taking somebody's life is a really important decision. But that exists within a certain framework. Here, right, conceptually speaking, what's going on is just completely different. Labriut, you're not trying to figure out a detail within an exit system. What you're trying to do is to regenerate an entire institution. So for that, at least as far as the relevant parties are concerned, the relevant parties being defined as Chachmei Yisrael, perhaps Talmidei Chachmei Yisrael. That's an important secondary question, is what's the outer boundary of who has standing in this case. But once you draw that line, wherever you're going to draw it, the Chachamim, the Talmideim of those Chachamim, whatever it is, so to create the system anew, right, to regenerate an institution, yeah, I'm not so bothered by the idea that you wouldn't appeal to, you know, the general principle of Rove. There's nothing to do here with the general principle. This is something which has no analog in halacha. And so the idea that there would be a metric that's sui generis, that's totally unique, is acceptable if it's a totally unique situation. There's a certain principle at stake here, a logical principle, that situations which are entirely unique allow for entirely unique solutions. And I think that becomes the fair model. This is, you know, there are probably four people in the world, you know, who feel this way, but at least in, like, you know, my lifetime, I think the greatest, you know, in the general culture, film that was ever produced was a 6-part documentary on the explosion of the nuclear reactor in Chernobyl. Okay, like I said, there may be 3 other human beings who share this opinion, but, you know, I'm sticking with it. So in one of my favorite scenes in Chernobyl, people here know what I'm talking about. There was a nuclear explosion in Chernobyl. The nuclear core blew off, you know, 1,000 atomic bombs. So, and the best part is, of course, you know, covered up by the Soviets, you know, in classical style. So in any event, there's a great scene in the movie, it's a 6-part series, where the Soviet bureaucrat who's sent to clean up the mess says, well, like, you know, he says to the scientist, like, well, how do we, you know, how do we close, you know, as long as the core is open, it's on fire, it's a nuclear bomb every 12 hours, basically, of radioactivity being, you know, and unfortunately so many people died and suffering from cancer, all, you know, and there was radioactivity all over the European continent. So he says, well, what do you want me to do, you know, to close up the core? Like, what are we, you know, how many... It's like, do you want me to drop cement in there? Like, how many bags of cement? And the scientist looks at him and says, sir, you don't understand. This has never happened before on planet Earth. I can't tell you, you know, on one foot exactly what the solution to this problem is. Like, it's not going to work that way. This is going to require some kind of a unique solution because the situation is unprecedented. I'm like, you know, we haven't done this in the past. We haven't dealt with, you know, the explosion of a nuclear reactor. So, yeah, it ended up requiring highly original, totally unique solutions. So, l'havdil elef alfei havdalos, if you're trying to do something that has no analog, so the idea that Rove isn't going to be the ticket, okay, well, this isn't within the system. This is outside of the system. I think that's a very important principle. We're not operating within, you know, a psak halacha of aser versus mutter or tamei versus tahor. We're trying to reconstitute an entire institution that was lost. So again, I'm not in any way endorsing the extension of the Mishpatei Uziel, that the pizor that the Rambam refers to is a pizor bideos as opposed to a pizor geographically, but at least in concept, what I would tell you is that, you know, to the extent that we can know what was going through Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's mind, smicha seems awfully important. He felt that b'shas hashmad it was worth martyring oneself for. And in that respect, whether or not the Rambam's position is, you know, can be addressed in light of that Gemara, personally, I think it's very difficult. But, you know, point is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava martyred himself for an institution. The one thing that we can say for sure is that what the Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava agreed about is the critical nature of the institution of the Sanhedrin and the critical nature of the institution of smicha in general. And for the Rambam, it was critical in the sense of Geula being contingent upon its, you know, existence. And for Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it was literally worth, you know, giving his life over. And that, I think, is the most inspiring idea of all. Right? Because when you think about it, the idea that there's a rabbinic tradition, and Mike, I fully associate myself with the sentiments that you expressed. Not everybody, you know, is keyed into this, but that the Chachmei Yisrael are part of a unique Masorah that's responsible to what happened at Maimon Har Sinai, and that even when there's a breakdown within that, you know, chain, that any reconstitution of that chain is going to have to address itself to that legacy, I think is a very inspiring idea. That has to do with Jewish continuity in the end. That whatever will, you know, I'm moved by the fact that the Rambam paskins what seems to be an agada about Tveria. Misham asidin lachzor. Even if you can't, even if you're like the Mishpatei Uziel, and frankly, like me, and I would say the Rambam himself, Hadavar Tzarech Echreya, you know, even if you're something of a skeptic of the mechanism, the idea that when it comes back, it's tapping into what was already, that I think is a very important idea. You know. Zekeli v'anvehu, Elokei aviv arom imenhu, Lo ani tchilas hakedusha. The idea of belonging to something. I mean, that's important for every member of Klal Yisrael. It's also important for every member of the rabbinate. And I think that's a very important integrity to the system, that you're part of something that's, like, you know, been here for a very long time, is inherently eternal. You're not the, you know, the baal of it in some proprietary sense. You're a custodian of it. You're responsible to it. Transmission, authentic transmission is critical. You know, it's more important than surviving a board vote. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know. Nobody can put their own personal fortunes, you know, in front of it. I think those are very powerful ideas. And when the Gemara says, Biram, Zachor, Oso, Ish, Latov, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, to me, that's what it's about. I mean, you can boil it down and make it about something technical in Dine Knossos. We should be able to assign Motzi Shemra and Ones and Lefata. To me, it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. It's about the idea of an unbroken chain. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, you know, forget about a board vote, he's going to give up his life for this because it's about integrity. And I think that is as true today as it was then. I mean, the idea is a really, you know, inspirational idea. So it's so important to be muskal davar. Everybody should know about the Chiddush HaSmicha institutionally and the Shitas HaRambam for all of its controversies, and there really are. And, you know, I, as you no doubt can tell already, I would urge caution on anybody who would seek to revisit this question. I'm not too worried about them getting very far, given the current state of, you know, discord. But, you know, I would urge caution, you know, about reconstituting and relying, you know, on one version of the Rambam, one understanding of the Rambam. I take a very conservative approach to that. But the broader idea of the centrality of the institution, lock, stock, and barrel. I believe in that in every fiber of my being. And I think it's really like a critical guidepost in terms of, you know, how, you know, how we need to be thinking about, you know, rabbinic responsibility. So with that, I'll pause there. Tomorrow...